When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, your LAFC gateway drug and the only LAFC podcast in concussion protocol. I'm Travis Helwig.
I'm Vince LaRosa.
And I'm Darren Miller. Welcome to our preview of LAFC's MLS match against the Colorado Rapids on Saturday, March 23rd at 1 p.m. at Dick's Sporting Goods Park, which is located on Victory Way in Commerce City, Colorado, which has to be the most on-the-nose series of location details in all of Major League Soccer. You can watch it on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV+. And of course, we'll be live streaming our post-game call-in show 10 minutes after the final whistle at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot.
Later in the show, we'll talk to Tom Bogert about our new signings. And of course, we'll have our storylines for the week and make some bets. But first, we'll heavily monitor my concussion in practice to see if I'm game ready for the rest of the episode. It's time for listener mandated banter. So
what happened? What's going on? Okay, how much can you divulge?
I can divulge it all. What I'll say is I every time I've told people that I got a concussion, they're like, well, were you drunk? And I think because I got drunk Friday night, this podcast is going to assume that I was hammered and I got a concussion. Remember, I got too hungover to go to the game on Saturday? Mm-hmm. Now I seem like I have a problem. But the truth is, it was Sunday. I went over to my friend's house. They wanted to like have a dinner for me because they hadn't seen me since all the bad stuff happened with my family. And I was there for maybe 10 minutes. I walked outside. I turned around. And when I turned around, the door behind me was closing and I smashed directly into the edge of the door with all of my weight and momentum directly into my forehead. And then I was on the ground. And it was that brief moment that I don't remember that made the urgent care send me to the ER. And then I got a CAT scan. I'm all fine. No brain bleeding, but I did pass out from running into a door.
Damn.
Peak physical excellence.
Yeah. That was like, slow down.
Well, I'm actually
got stiff-armed by the universe.
I'm glad you weren't drunk, Travis, because I was drunk once and got a CAT scan and threw up in the machine. And I'll tell you what, those employees were not happy. But I told them I did not. I had a similar incident to yours, except for I was drunk and I did fall. Blackout. And I remember getting up and my friends were like, hey, man, there's just a loud noise in your room. Like, you cool? And I was holding my hand over my head where I was like, oh, no, I just hit my head. I feel fine. And I pulled my hand away and it was covered in blood. And so I had to go to the ER. And there I was like, guys, I'm probably fine. They're like, no, dude, you're bleeding so much. Like, I was like, well, I can't tell. I can't see. They're like, because literally there's blood in your eyes. Like, it's covering your eyes. And so I had to do the whole concussion protocol as you did. And I remember them putting me in there and I was like, hey, dude. And the guy's like, what? I'm like, I'm going to throw up. He's like, don't do it. I'm like, I just don't feel well. I don't want to lay my back right now. I'm not. He's like, you do not throw. And I have to
open that machine. Wait a second. That's at least a little bit on him.
That's what I'm saying.
Says, I'm going to throw up. Your response is not, don't do it. That's a person saying, I don't have the ability to stop myself.
I do
you
slightly.
You have to have the wherewithal to deal with it, not to be like, oh, I bet if I just like tell him not to, he'll figure out how to not do it.
Yeah, Darren, that's a good point. And I think although he never admitted it, the fact that one of his things when he told me not to do it is you will have to pay for it. The fact that I didn't have to pay for it, I think is when he realized it was on him because he had to clean it up and I didn't pay for anything.
Also, except for the hospital visit. You're not going to fucking pay for like a $200,000 CAT scan machine.
But that was supposed to deter me from doing it, Travis. He was like, if you do it, you're going to pay for it. I'm like, I'm doing it, bro. Like, it's happening.
You don't decide to throw up.
You have to lie flat. Like, you have to lie back, like all the way back and stand still. That's the worst place to be if you want to puke.
That guy's a doctor?
No, I think he's just a tech.
No, he's a tech.
Yeah,
exactly. Still probably makes more money than me, but still.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You have you have one third of a Patreon. Of course he makes more money than
me. That's true.
Damn. Shit.
So now like I can't move my head or I can't think clearly. And like if I look at a screen for too long, like just being here, I have a slight headache. So it's been a real doozy of a week, I'll say. It's so good to be here talking about Major League Soccer with slight nausea and a slight headache.
This is you are entering this season against all odds so far. This is a rocky start on the season.
Couldn't get worse, huh? I'm happy to say it. I'm getting on a plane on Friday. Couldn't get worse, right?
Oh, good idea.
Is it a Boeing?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, good. Look that up. See if it's a Boeing.
You might want to double check when you have a concussion and you
get
COVID.
See what happens when you have a concussion and you get COVID.
Very nicely though, because of that, because I couldn't really look at screens, our good friends Darren and Vince agreed to do storylines for me this week and teach me, a man with amnesia, about what's going on. So Darren, if you want to take us away and we could start the show while I eat some bites of this pizza.
All right. Well, I'm a casual LAFC fan, which means I love the team and won't miss a match, but I also have a life and adult responsibilities, so I don't have time to watch a post-game presser or read an article. But it also means I've lost touch with my inner child, so I can't let myself fully enjoy any recreation or entertainment or fully appreciate athletic achievement as especially meaningful to my life or to culture as a whole. The point is, I love LAFC and also I'm dead inside. Luckily, my friend Travis, the human LAFC crazy wall, is so alive with the spirit of LAFC that he projects an endless stream of game tape, press conferences, analysis, tweets, and Reddit posts onto his basement wall and built his own Clockwork Orange-style chair to hold his eyelids open so he'll never blink or falter in his pursuit of LAFC knowledge. And every week he comes here to explain to me and all of you everything that's going on beneath the surface of each week's match so we can enjoy it so much more. Except when that pursuit is so physically intense that we enter concussion protocols, at which point Vince fills in because he's also here and he already knows all this shit without resorting to extreme self-hatred or self-harm in a segment we call Storylines.
Now, I just want to clear up. That sounded different to you guys, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. The storyline song? Or the intro?
The song was a different song, Darren. No, Vince, you're not as good of an actor. Is it real or is that in my brain?
I mean, Darren and I have heard that song hundreds of times, so we don't really react anymore.
Do the fucking segment. Fuck you.
You definitely have a concussion. It seems like. Are you going to be cool to keep going, Travis?
Yeah, I'm cool to keep going, Darren. Do it.
I honestly wasn't even over. I wasn't even paying attention because it's my job to do these storylines. I'm trying to psych myself up to live up to your level of storylines. I feel like when I did it, when you were gone, Travis, that everyone was like, this isn't as good. I mean, yeah, sure. The info is like very soccerly, but not as fun.
Now, I got to say, Vince, did anyone say that to you or is this just something you made up in your brain?
Cody said it to me. She heckles me after the show.
So would you... Go ahead.
I was going to say, so I'll try to be funny in some points, but if it's not funny, it's not my fault. I'm not a professional comedy writer. Sorry. So first storyline, guys, I think it was around this time last week that we broke Ilya Sanchez. LAFC fans were in crisis over the team after yet another game that we hadn't scored a goal. It was full meltdown mode. The normally mild-mannered and easygoing Spaniard had media availability ahead of the Nashville game, and he said this, and... Well, I'm paraphrasing for what he said because he said a lot of things, but I think that basically he said, chill the fuck out. We're going to be okay. And for Ilya Sanchez, that was a little bit intense. Again, he's intense on the field, but normally just the nicest of men outside the field. But he had this level, this slight edge to him in that press conference. But after that, LAFC more than doubled its goal scored for the season by dropping 5 on Saturday night, proving that once again, Ilya makes a smart choice by telling everyone it's going to be all right. My question to you guys is, besides the number of goals scored, what was the most encouraging sign to you from LAFC's offensive explosion on Saturday night?
I think I would say Kike scoring, because I think the fan base needed it, and you could tell from Kike that he needed it, the way that everyone celebrated, and the way that when he was pulled off right after the coaches went around him, you could tell that this had been building in his brain, that it was almost there. And so I hope now what that means is the floodgates are open for the anti-B-Rod, the antidote to B-Rod, Kike Oliveira.
A-Rod.
Darren,
A-Rod. That's a great nickname.
Well, I mean, they're not going to score 5 every week. So, Darren, what made you excited as a casual?
I think the passing. I think they found each other in a way that they couldn't put together. There was like really good chemistry for like 3 seconds in a previous match at one point. Mm-hmm. And other than that, this last match, like, they scored goals because they like put some plays together. It wasn't just like, okay, we got it to Denny. Let's see what he can do with it. It was like a lot of chance, like team chances, and it felt like a team victory based on like concrete things they were working on, mm-hmm. as opposed to just like they all came together and had more heart. Like there was like a certain magnetic attachment to their shape that was not there previously.
Right. Yeah. I mean, their expected goals was kind of bananas. Like normally, obviously you score 5 goals, you're expecting your expected goals to be pretty high, but there's a lot of games where a team scores 5 goals and their expected goals is like 3.0. I think it was 4.8, which I had to double check because MLS's expected goals is normally a little bit higher. I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to juice those numbers because it seems fun. But I checked an FB ref and it was like four. Theirs is pretty legit because it's from a company called Opta that's been doing it a long time. 4.8, which means that like they're creating big chances in a lot of them. So it really was like, it was a good performance. It wasn't just like some bangers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I said it on the bus game. I felt like we had more opportunities than we scored for sure. Sorry, go ahead, Darren.
Oh, that's okay. Can I ask you what happens to the expected goal count on what like when Boanga hits the post?
It's not like hockey. Hockey, like if you hit the post, it doesn't count as a shot on goal. Like it's still, even when you miss the net, expected goals is mostly based on pre-shot. So it's the location of your shot and the type of shot. So
what
it's
ends not, up happening doesn't really, as long as it's not a goal, I mean.
Correct.
So
let's say Boanga is a yard away and he crashes it off the crossbar. It's probably going to be a big chance, regardless of the fact that he should have just rolled it on the ground and scored that way. If you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
And also, I will caveat it by saying there was a penalty. As I tell you guys, a penalty is worth about almost a full goal because it goes in about 80% of the time. So it's 0.8. But still, you remove that, it's still 4.0 of expected goals is a high number.
My brain just glazed. Once you started talking, my concussion just fully took over.
I realized that as I was doing it, the numbers were floating around you like Zach Galifianakis, but not in a good way.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, how far am I from a toilet?
Yeah, my bad. Well, I'll move on to our next storyline.
Inner monologue was pizza.
Pizza. We want the pizza.
When will the Italian men stop talking? I'll move on to the second storyline. I do love doing storylines because they are so soccerly. And then I ask you guys questions that clearly you're like, why would we answer these questions? And this is another one of them.
Every episode I ask Darren if he's been to the city we've played.
Well, second storyline is this. Through 5 games, we've been talking a lot about depth and the lack thereof. And one interesting tidbit is LAFC has started the exact same lineup in all 5 games, except for this last game. And they made only one change that was forced upon them because Omar Campos was with the Mexican under-23 team playing a friendly against Argentina. Sergi Palencia came into the game and played really, really well. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but if you're Steve and you've clearly wanted to keep the same 11 on the field and not really make changes. Is Sergi starting for you guys this weekend? And second question, is there any other changes that you think Steve should be considering to the starting 11 that he seems to not want to change at all?
I think it would be beyond Palencia's heart, because it's like they just won 5-0. It would feel a little silly to tinker. Palencia, I remember to last season, I feel like the same thing happened over the stretch of multiple games where we had depth issues and he came in and played really well. And then toward the end of the season, we didn't see much from him because we just no longer had the depth issues. And I don't know, how many times is he going to have to keep playing so well before we actually give him a spot?
I love Palencia. I think he gets weirdly criticized around LAFC fans, and I don't fully know why. I think he's always played pretty strong for us. I think the reason that maybe I wouldn't start him is Ryan Hollingshead was out of position, right? We had to play him on an opposite side than he normally plays, or am I...
That he normally plays for
us. Did I bonk my head?
No, you're actually onto something here, but it's just weird because he came to LAFC as a left back. He had played like the last 8 seasons as left back, and then with the way they had Cheeky, obviously, so then he went to right back. He is right-footed as well, so yeah, he kind of went back to his roots, but yeah, he doesn't really play left back for LAFC.
I would say as a left back, though, the way that we play him up where he was forward, I could tell that his left foot wasn't as good at goal scoring as his right foot. And I do think Ryan Hollingshead is such an important part of our offense, weirdly, that I kind of want to keep him where he is. But I mean, if Palencia could go to the left side and we could put Hollingshead there, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I think, I don't know, I also don't want to break the confidence of Omar Campos, who just happened to go play for his national team. But, you know, Omar hasn't played as well as he did that first game since we've seen him. So maybe it is time to give Palencia a shot. I don't know. That's a hard question. I mean, the bigger question I have, and I think, Vince, I want to know your opinion on this, is like, how do we find room for Martinez? It's clear that he's ready and he has it. When, like, what, let's say Giroud comes tomorrow. What does the team look like if now we have a new front line? Where does Matty Bogusz go? Where does Ilya Sanchez go? How does Martinez fit into any of that?
Yeah, it's tough for young players. I mean, I remember talking to somebody at LAFC one time just about, it was maybe a couple seasons ago, just about guys like Ordaz and young guys that come through the academy. And I said to him, I was like, you know, like, will they ever get a shot? And he's like, they are smart enough to know, or they should by now, that like, if you play for LAFC, we're always going to buy top-end talent in those positions, whether it is a Giroud or a Martinez. So like, coming out of the academy is probably the... Playing forward out of LAFC's academy, as good as you might be, is probably the most difficult position to crack the lineup, just because that's just the MO. Martinez, I agree with you. He looks good. I still think he's building to something. He's come into games where he gets to just YOLO, like, do whatever he wants. Like, don't worry. You know, obviously this last game he comes into the game, there's already been a red card. They're already up 3-0. It's like, you just go have fun out there. And that's great for his confidence. You need that. But I don't know if you can put him into a game. I definitely don't think you can start him and say, like, we need you to do all the things out there under high pressure, and we need you to be good against the ball. And also, like, we hope that you can go 60 minutes, because you don't want to burn a sub early just because a kid's not ready. So I think he's building to it. But I can feel it from all the fans, and you guys included, like, they really want to see more of him, because he's definitely got it. Like, he's got it in like his kind of joy for the game and his ability to just play free. But sometimes that's not exactly the best for a guy to just throw him out there and, you know, see what happens. I think you got to build a little bit more to it before he gets that start.
Just curious, because I see so many people online being like, we need to start Martinez over Oliveira. I'm like, I don't think they play the same positions. Like, what are we talking about?
they're both wingers, but they don't play it in the same way. And again, a lot of that stuff that I said, that like the things that people don't talk about, like, Oliveira has that. He knows the game model. He knows how to press. He knows how to provide support defensively. I don't think Martinez has that yet, because it's not something that you just, especially a kid that, like, everywhere he's played, he's been uber talented. And they've probably just said, rightfully so, which is a good thing for him, is like, just play. Like, don't think too much, just play. Well, at a certain point, he's going to have to start turning on, you know, that brain of, wow, we lost the ball, how do I react? And that's the next level for him. And I don't think that they can just force that upon him by saying, go in the game and just figure it out.
Well, Twitter disagrees with you, Vince. Keep going.
It normally does. Okay, final storyline. Let's actually talk about the opponent. Have either of you ever been to a game in Colorado?
No.
I must have never been to Colorado. I have. Yeah, I was going to say. I feel like that's been to Colorado. Everyone's been, gone to.
Okay, have you both been to Denver?
I was in Colorado for 12 hours.
Okay.
We also did a layover after the Columbus game during in Denver, just to remember.
But that was Denver?
Yeah. Yes. But I've been to Denver a lot, actually. And I know about the altitude because at the podcast I used to work on, we did a live show there. And someone drove up from like North Carolina to see the show. It was a weird drive that this person did solo, got super fucked up, passed out and had a seizure and pissed themselves in the middle of the show. And it's the only time while I worked at that podcast that we had to stop a show for like an emergency. It was terrifying, but when you get drunk at altitude, bad things happen. So to LAFC on your way up, don't drink before the game.
Right. And oddly, we've been told eating beets somehow is good for your, this was told to us by one
your
of
beet?
The
altitude tolerance
beets. It's good for your like oxygen intake in your blood.
It's also really good for going to the bathroom and forgetting you had beets and thinking something's horrifically wrong with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, being terrified. Yeah. But I was asking you guys because it's not just the altitude. I mean, so you guys haven't been there, but so Denver as a city is kind of weird. It's continuing to build. Like I was there 2 years ago and it was like much bigger than I remember it because they're building like more condo-y kind of things on the outskirts. But once you get out of like the city, although the Rockies are looming like way in the background, it's completely like desolate and flat. Like there's just nothing there. There's no trees, just whatever. And the stadium kind of, you drive for like 30 minutes in just nothingness. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a stadium there. And it just like appears magically. There's nothing around it. There's no like stores. Just, and so I wonder if it's not just the altitude. It's just the fact that like, it just doesn't feel real. Like it's just this weird place. But LAFC hasn't played well there. I mean, here's their record. One win, three losses, and a draw.
That's
not good.
Bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's bad. It's actively
that's not
bad.
Good. And this Colorado team is not so good right now either. I mean, they brought in a lot of acquisitions, which was exciting. You know, we're going to have Tom in, and he did a GM survey, and a lot of GMs said that it was interesting their offseason. It was exciting because of how many people they brought in. But they're 1-2-2, and they haven't won a home game. They actually have a draw and a loss. They've only scored one goal from open play. So, guys, tell me how LAFC is going to find a way to ruin this because they're going to altitude and they don't play well in Colorado.
So far, weather has been a real problem. Like, like the elements have been a real problem for LAFC this season.
I would
like,
say over the course of our team's history, if we're not playing in 70 and sunny, we are actively bad. Like, we're so spoiled by how nice it is here.
They represent the city so well.
I mean, you guys were at MLS Cup. It rained. It wasn't very nice. It was cold. Like, did the crew even beat LAFC or was it the weather? Think about it.
It was.
That's something I do want to bring up. I think we won. The more I think about it, our zero scoring chances, I think, really won that. I recently rewatched that video you and I made, Darren, when we were there. And I'm like, man, that game was boring. I have no memory of anything that happened during the game. Literally no memory.
Yeah, it wasn't. I remember it being really rough. It wasn't one of those games where it's like, oh, I'm really anxious because like you don't know what's going to happen. It was just like, no, we're going
to lose
thoroughly like the whole time.
What was your question? I have a concussion, Vince. I forget.
Yeah, sorry. The question was.
Yeah, and I just respond to anything. Anyone talks to me and I'm like, this sounds like a good discussion. Let's go on this road.
Yeah, I have a concussion and Darren has ADHD, which is just a constant concussion.
Yeah, basically.
Despite Colorado not being very good and having not won,
how are we
going
to mess it up?
How is LAFC going to find a way to not do well? I don't think there's no way Colorado dominates LAFC the way that the crew did in that MLS Cup game. They just don't play that way. They're not capable of it. But they could make the game boring. I feel like every game in Colorado is boring.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Are we looking at like a 1-0 game?
Yeah, it's and it's in the daytime too. They always seem to play in the daytime. It never looks good. Like the grass is going to look grayish because it's just coming out of winter into spring. It's just not going to look good on TV.
I have a friend who lived in Denver, and I had told her like 2 years ago or something. I was like, oh, maybe I'll come out and see LAFC play against the Rapids. And she goes, who are the Rapids? She's lived in Denver 15 years, has no idea they exist.
Because they're out of town. They're literally out of town. And then in the middle of nowhere, like it's not even on the way to something.
Yeah.
It's just kind of there.
I look.
Why skip all the space?
I think, Darren, like I said, the city is growing. So I think in 10 years, maybe the city will be all the way around it. And they'll have been very prescient. And this was
Denver's total fucking weird, 4D though.
Chess like, move.
Like the airport is like that, too. The airport is like you drive for a mile and all you can see ahead of you is the airport. But it's like, put the airport at the beginning. Why did we also, if you want me to get the Denver airport, I have a bunch of conspiracy theories about. I'm very into
the
Denver
world. The whole world does.
Yeah.
It is it being that far out is part of a crazy conspiracy. But also, I found out this week that the landmass that the Denver airport owns is larger than the city of San Francisco. The Denver airport itself is bigger than the entire landmass of San Francisco. Think about that, John Thorington, if you're listening.
why should he think about that?
Yeah, what is he going to do?
I don't know, man. I could
the
barely
team's think about that, and then they're going to get all in their heads, and they're not going to know what to do with the information. And then that's
here's how we're going to screw it up, Vince. We're going to see that scary demon horse outside of the airport, Lucifer, and we're going to get fucking psyched out by that cursed horse that killed its creator, which is one of the funniest things that I've ever heard. Is the man who sculpted the demon horse was crushed by the demon horse to death. Look it up, everyone. It's true.
If you had to guess one player on LAFC that is scared of horses, who would it be? I don't have any inside info, but like who would be your best guess be?
Mario.
That was mine. I don't know why. He strikes me the type that will walk up to him and be just terrified of it.
He does. Yeah, I could see him like running away.
He has the best reaction time, I think.
Yeah.
We should put them all in a haunted house. LAFC people who work at LAFC, when comes October, put them in a haunted house, get some photos. Like we're giving
guys,
you
we're setting up partnerships. Get Knott's Berry Farm to sponsor the team. Come on.
Actually, I do have a LAFC player horse story. When Dio was still on the team, we were talking with him and we were like, hey, man, what'd you do in the off season? Me and Max, this was like before the podcast. He goes, oh, you know, I went to Hawaii, had a good time. I rode some horses out there. And we said, wait, what? You went to Hawaii to ride horses? He goes, well, yeah, I've been riding horses all my life. And we're like, wait, what? And he goes, well, I grew up on a farm in Norway. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's possible. But like, he totally like turned it on us. Like I've been riding horses all my life. I'm actually, I love like an enthusiast of them. And Max and I never felt stupider in that moment. And then like Dio's just like, his delivery is kind of dry. So like the way he said it was kind of like, you guys are the two stupidest guys I've ever met. And
everybody knows
ride
I'm
horses.
A cowboy. Everybody knows I ride horses. I'm a Dama Diamante.
Yeah.
It means horse rider.
It means horse rider in Norwegian.
Do you know who on the team believes in the Illuminati?
That's a good question. Who on the team believes in the Illuminati? I'm going to say Nathan Ordaz. I'm going to say Nathan Ordaz is deep in some some right-wing YouTube holes that he doesn't know how he got down.
If it's not the Illuminati stuff and it's not the horse, I think what we're mapping out here to tie this all together is that upon landing, there is a series of obstacles that everyone on the team has to get through to be able to make it to the pitch at game time fully mentally there. And then there's the altitude. So it's like the team's going to dwindle. It's like lemmings, right? At some point, who's left?
Ilya Sanchez is going to be crushed by the horse. Nathan Ordaz is going to be kidnapped by the Illuminati. And by the time
he's going to be underneath the airport in those tunnels, figuring
out. Yeah, he's going to be in the tunnels. But the New World Order is going to say, you got too close to the truth. And we're not going to let you play this game. By the time we get there, someone's going to have a seizure and piss their pants. So that's how we're going to lose, Vince.
Well, I'm glad we mapped that out. And that's just a fitting end to storylines. That's it.
Cody, I want you to tell us how Vince did. I think he did a good job, but I want your opinion. When we come back, we're going to talk to the man, the myth, the Woj of MLS, friend of the foot, Tom Bogert, who broke some little free agent news for us this week.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He is a reporter at The Athletic, and he's currently sidelined at a men's soccer game after one of the busiest days of his life. Please welcome to the show the Woj of MLS, or as they call him in France, Ombegue. Please welcome Tom Bogert, everyone. Tom, thanks for being here.
Going on, boys. Thanks for having me. How are we doing?
You know, we're feeling better after your reporting compared to how we've been feeling.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Tom, they have no idea who Kevin Sullivan is. Do not confuse these two any more than they already are. We're starting with Olivier Giroud. Let's just keep it at the top. We don't want to get these guys too out of sorts here.
Let's talk about the signing that we all want to talk about, Maxime Cheneau. What can you tell us? Tell us.
Nothing great. I didn't hear great things about his exit from NYCFC. I will say that there was a lot of discussions about playing time, and that's why he left. And then I only got this story because they did pretty good at keeping it under wraps. But when Ajaccio put out a statement today, pretty much just mother effing him on letterhead, which is honestly, I respect it. Somebody from the club, like I was talking to somebody that would know at NYCFC, and they were like, dude, it was even worse here. It's like he was like he said he was going to be flying into challenges and training if they didn't let go. They were like, he was like, release me, and he kept coming to the club, and they were like, all right, screw this guy. So he got his way, but like, you know, just be careful if he's not playing. And I would tell Buonga not to train for a few days if Cheneau's not playing.
But Jesus. Long story short, he was on a free transfer though.
But it worked, man. You make a mess, and that's how you get out. Like, the nice guys get stuck on the bench, so I guess he's a winner.
I'm just glass half full, Tom. I'm trying anything here.
I'm so happy that you immediately made us terrified of this man that we've just learned about.
I actually have a second Maxime Cheneau story that you haven't asked for, but this is the bit as I'm watching an over 40 game after me now. A friend of mine that's like a soccer fan, but like isn't like an MLS guy, happened to live in Maxime Cheneau's building in the West Village. And he was like, yo, do you know who this guy is? I was like, yeah, I know who that is. He's like, he's so nice. He offered me one of his pairs of cleats. And he's like, I didn't think that they would fit me. I was like, he wasn't offering for you to wear them, you moron. He's a professional player. Like he was like offering to like, sell them and give it to you. And he's like, oh, cool. That's really nice. And like, that was part of that. So
Wow. It's very kind of him.
Should we just keep going on this?
Yeah.
Just have
Vince, you got one?
Yeah, let's use our whole 10 minutes on Maxime Cheneau.
I don't have a 10-minute hard out. Don't worry. I'm watching. Can I move this around mid-screen?
He at NYCFC? Can I ask that question? Because I've never watched an NYCFC game in my fucking life.
Yeah, is he as much of a hothead on the pitch as off? Because that would at least be entertaining.
Yes, he's like your classic hard man center back, but he can also play. Like he can also pass. I really like the signing. Like I was making jokes off the top, but like LAFC desperately needed another center back to have the rotation. Can't go through the season with essentially three. I don't even know who the fourth choice would be. Maybe somebody from the second team. You know, so they really needed one. I figured that they were going to have to go. Like I didn't think that we were going to get the name recognition of Maxime Cheneau for the signing. So well done to the team.
Thank you so much for saying well done to us.
Don't say that desperate. We're that desperate. I don't know.
We'll take it.
I would say we are LAFC if you want to get down to it. Three white guys who barely get by are LAFC.
I used to work there.
Yeah, man who's been fired LAFC. By the company.
Come on.
Look, I think you know why we invited you here. And it's not because of your charm and good looks. You broke the news last week along with some loser from the UK that Olivier Giroud was considering joining LAFC. A week goes by. It seems like we got a handshake. The ink isn't on the paper, but it seems like what do they do in France? They trade baguettes. And they trade. They each. Yeah. They each did a mime routine. And now we know that Olivia Giroux is joining LAFC. What can you tell us about how this happened and how we got here and what you think he can bring to the team?
Yeah, I'll start with how we got here. Like, obviously, LAFC have been in the market for a DP forward, which feels like multiple years, even for when Chicho Arango was at the team, which is funny because he should have been a DP forward. They held firm to what they wanted.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
they held firm. Like, they could have added a DP last year. They didn't. Like, they got to MLS Cup final. They got to the CONCACAF Champions League at the time final. They had a really good year, and they could have, like, they weren't going to kind of settle on a center forward. And Mario Gonzalez, like, I liked that play just based on his pedigree and everything, but it didn't work out. And they quickly, you know, they didn't do the sunk cost fallacy and waited around. They were like, all right, let's get him out of here. Now we have even more room. And Giroud was definitely one of their, if not their top target, I don't know their entire target list, but this was obviously a long-term thing. I heard when there was some rumors of that Giroud might be open to MLS, like, last year, LAFC was a team that made a ton of sense, and I'm sure that there was talk then. Hugo Lloris definitely helped. I am working to get more in on that story on agent Lloris here for agent Hugo for his good pal Giroud. So yeah, it's just kind of like, look, right? Like, let's not be naive. He wasn't going to go to Vancouver. He wasn't going to go to New England. He wasn't going to go to insert. And like, this is the kind of player that comes to LA, Miami, or New York. Maybe New York, and honestly, probably not even based on what those teams have been like. And I like just did the anonymous GM survey. Multiple of them, they weren't trying to sound bitter or anything, and I don't think they were. They were just stating it as a fact. Miami and Los Angeles have a recruiting edge that, like, Cincy, Columbus, and Montreal just don't have. It's just a fact, right? Like, so well done to LAFC for being able to pull this deal off, because I think he's going to be absolutely excellent in this league. I think that he's aging like Zlatan. Like, he's going to be more Zlatan for the Galaxy than, like, Steven Gerrard for the Galaxy, or I don't know, Christian Tao for LAFC. I'm trying to think of somebody who was washed and didn't work out with a big name. Like, I don't know, man. I was texting with a GM last year, somebody that I'm close with, just like joking. I was like, please fucking sign Giroud. Please. Like, he'd be awesome. And look at how handsome he is. And I'm just sending him Giroud gifs and stuff. And he's like laughing along until I was like, no, but you really should. And he's like, how much have you had to drink? And then, but he just kind of like dismissed it out of hand. And I was like, I genuinely believe that he's going to be an awesome DP forward in this league if we ever sign him. And I think in this LAFC team, with Blanga, with Kiki Alvera, with the way that they want to play, because Chirundolo is like allergic to playing with a natural center forward at center forward. And Giroud, his hold up play and technical ability and vision is so good. He gives you the false nine stuff that Chirundolo clearly craves, but also the finishing ability of a real center forward.
Well,
who are some more guys who didn't work out for the Galaxy?
Again, it hurts, man. Gerard is my favorite player of all time. I got to take the L on that one. Gio Dos Santos, I'd say, you know, he had I think one very good year. I think Jermaine Defoe got into Toronto for like two months and was like, get me the hell out of here.
We could say Chicharito was a failure, right? I feel like we could say Chicharito was a failure.
I'm on the fence about that because like I think he's throw out the last year because of injuries. So he was like, I think he was okay. He didn't live up to like the transfer fee, which makes it worse. But like, I still look back on that time as like, I don't think he was a total bust.
I guess that's fair. I mean, he scored goals, but in the team around him was garbage. No, but like, I'm with you. I'm totally with you because I'm like, yeah, he did score goals, but also like, I don't know. He just never like elevated the team the way, you know, you expect somebody. But then again, when you bring in Chicharito, he's just there to score goals. So if you thought he was going to elevate the team, then that's your problem.
Yeah, look, he didn't have Danny Buonga and Carlos Vela on either side of him. He had fucking Douglas Coulson.
Are you breaking that Carlos Vela's back with the team? Is that breaking news right now?
I hope, dude. I'm dying. I would love for that to happen. Like, I'm still such a big Carlos Vela guy, and I'm such, like, I'd be such a bad GM because, like, I'm too much of, like romantic, and I'm too soft. Like, oh, Carlos, like, you were so good to us for 6 years or however long it's been. Take whatever money you want. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, in a salary cap league, you can't do that. And John Thornton is absolutely cold-blooded. And I think that they're still hopeful that they can wait him out for Max Tam or something. Maybe we'll see what roster rules change. There was some random ones over the winter that were discussed but didn't get passed that one person described to me as literally the Carlos Vela rule, that there might be a way, like, I don't know, to overcomplicate the salary cap even more. But there was a possibility where one player could make more than Max Tam, but less than a DP. I don't know. It was
BAM.
I brought it up because that begs follow-up questions, and I don't have any answers.
What are some great ways to make the whole thing more complex?
Yeah. Tam, gam, bam, lamb.
Those are just words.
I asked a question before.
Yeah, let's ask you about something that you do know about that you have reported on. You reported on the conscious uncoupling of under 22 spots and DP spots. And obviously you report about Giroud and literally seconds later, LAFC fans are celebrating, but then saying, great, so who's the next DP? Obviously now that everything's like kind of on the table and that seems to be going through, LAFC can probably get another senior DP. Like what do you hear? Like where do they go next? Do they continue to go big or would you see them?
What more do you want from me? I just broke the Olivier Giroud news. And what are you, can I just celebrate this? Like what the hell? What do you want from me?
Don't tell me you haven't already been working on it.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I got Olivier Giroud. I've just been staring at pictures of Olivier Giroud.
Yeah, I don't need a name,
to be clear.
In your mind, because like this is like as much as John Thornton wants to say, like, look, this is not a shift in our strategy. We've always been willing to take on players like this. If Giroud's a DP, it's a shift in your strategy. He's 37 years old. You're giving DP money to that, and obviously, like, yeah, he's been very fortunate that guys like Chiellini and Hugo want to take deals, but like,
incredible.
There's definitely been a shift. Like, it seems like LAFC wants more name recognition, and they're. Because John, I guarantee you, John could have found somebody, you know, a no-name South American guy that he thinks could maybe do a job. And he used to love doing that. But now it seems like, I mean, look, we become French
FC. Maybe Will
Kunst
like doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there hasn't been enough Ecuador performances at the U20 World Cup. They need to restock on some of those.
So in your mind, look, the Olympics are going to go on. LAFC could easily scout that for some under 23 talent. But do you think that they're going to continue along this road? Yeah. Like I said, you don't have to give me a name, but is this the new MO?
I think that what has made LAFC so successful is that other than, you know, trying to get good soccer players at good value, like every other team is, but like, that's kind of their MO, right? Like you said, like Thornton has always, and I don't have any reason to think that he's lying when, like, he's been saying for years before Chiellini, right? Was the first kind of big name sort of like Vela, obviously, but so he was in his prime when he got here around that deal with Chiellini. Like he was like, yeah, like we've taken meetings, right? Like we got to make sure that the player is motivated. So I think that they like having a balance in their squad. I don't see them having three DPs where it's, you know, Messi, Busquets and Alba or whoever their third DP is, right? Like I think that it's always going to be a mix. And that, like, look, if like a name that comes to mind here, and I don't know if they've had any talks or if they even really want him, but like I'm sure that they do because everybody should. Antoine Griezmann. Like, he's going to come to MLS at some point, probably in the next 2 years. He's, like, let's face it. He's a Los Angeles or Miami kind of guy. Like, it just is what it is, right? Like, if I had
best friends with Carlos Vela.
Yeah, right? Like, without Vela at LAFC, like, I'd guess that he maybe ends up in Miami. But, like, you know, if LAFC, like, I could see LAFC going for Griezmann. And, like, he would be end of his prime. He'd still be in his prime, I believe, depending on when he would come. But, like, again, I think that it's less like a, hey, like we have a mandate to go sign a big name star, or hey, we have a mandate to go sign an 18-year-old star. Like, I think that it's about a deal by deal basis. Like, even the Edward Atuesta deal, like they didn't plan on that this offseason. It came up as an opportunity, and within, you know, 72 hours, they pulled the trigger and got the deal done. Right? Like, so that's kind of more, but like, I wish I had a better answer, but like, that's just kind of how LAFC operate, and I think that's the best way to operate, so you can be able to be flexible, and that's how they can add Chiellini and Bale in the same summer, and oh yeah, also Denny Bouanga and Christian Teo, and then the next year they can you know do everything else that they've done. So like they have much flexibility, and again the boring MO is just sign good players at good value.
You heard it here first. We're getting Vela and Griezmann this year. Tom Bogert has reported it live on Happy Foot Sad Foot. Before you go, I need you to give us the scoop. How did your game go? I know you're the captain.
Fucking lost. Played a good team. It's a regular season game. It's okay. We'll get them back. We were missing a couple guys. We kind of, as you can tell by my huffing and puffing and just general not caring and being too loose. I'm out of shape at the moment, which is unfortunate. That's on me. No excuses, right? We do assists and everything, kick people. At least I'm doing this interview from the field, because if I wasn't, that would mean that I got sent off. And when you get sent off here, they stop the game and say, until you leave, we don't restart the game. Like, you have to leave the premises. Like, you're in timeout. Go over to the parking lot. So thankfully that didn't happen today. Didn't even get yelled at. But yeah, we lost, but we'll be back. Don't worry.
I mean, I feel like you have the right depth, your team. I think you'll get there. And just, I want to clarify one thing too. It meant a lot that you called this out on your YouTube. about how much we talk about how hot
that wasn't
Giroux
a call out. That was me being like, I'm never gonna match
a shout out with you.
Yeah,
a shout out. But I just want to clarify something. I would have sex with Olivier Giroux, but I feel like that's me being selfish. I would also allow my wife to have sex with Olivier Giroux if I'm allowed to watch. And I'll wear a cage if I have to, but and I think you speak for The Athletic when you agree, right?
Yeah. And when can we also be hosted on MLS's podcast?
On MLS's, on Drew's debut.
Tom, thanks so much for being here. Please tell Andrew Wiebe thank you for wearing socks. Finally, it means a lot to all of us.
I will not, because I disagree with that.
All right. Well, I'm sorry you lost. Thanks for always hanging out. It's good to see you, man.
See you, boys.
And we're back. Now it's time for a segment called Bet It and Forget It.
Bet It and Forget It.
Every week, we end the show with a bet for this week's game. We make an outlandish prediction, something that almost definitely will not happen, but could. Each week, Travis and I put up $5. If no one hits, the money rolls over to the next week, and eventually, by the time someone's weird prediction comes true, they might win a good chunk of change. None of our bets cashed last week, so our bet pool for this week is $60.
We all got close last week.
We all got very close. So that close. Is a watershed moment, I think, in the history of this podcast. Bwanga, Travis, I can review them all. I have them here written down. Travis, you predicted Bwanga would get a hat trick. He got two goals. I predicted we'd get two goals off of a corner kick. We got one goal off a corner kick. And almost a second. By that, I mean they had another corner kick at least.
they had another opportunity.
The corner kick is, like, by definition, almost a goal. Vince, you predicted Christian Oliveira would get an assist.
And if Bwanga would have scored the goal to get his hat trick, we both would have hit.
We would have split.
Oh, that's true.
Paid the pass.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. And yet he scored instead of getting the assist. So we're circling the target here.
Now, you're not going to believe this, but I didn't think of a bet because my brain don't work. But because of that, I have a bet that I'm coming up with right now. And it's one that I don't want to come true. But it's that someone's going to be taken off for concussion protocol. Either team will be removed from the pitch for concussion protocol. That doesn't mean they're going to go into concussion protocol where they get tested. It means they get tested and they're taken off. Okay, so it's not just they bonk their head. They bonk their head hard enough that they can't do the little sprint properly and they're removed from the game.
Interesting. That's part of some of the new rules that are coming back now that we didn't talk about this. The real referees are back.
We did it. Happy Foot, Sad Foot did it.
but as part of it, them coming back is some of the rules that were suspended. Like, we're going to now hear VAR explanations. That's going to be interesting. But one of them is a protocol. If two players go off with injury because they clash heads, if one player is ready to go before the other, they have to wait. They wait the same amount of time. There's no like, you can go on. We're still waiting on this guy. They wait the same amount of time.
Interesting.
Wow.
We have bonk. My brain's not working.
Bonk protocol?
I was going to say bonk equality. There's bonk equality in MLS. Guys, this is the most work I've done in 4 days. So please forgive me. We're reaching the end of my ability.
Okay, I've got a bet.
I just want to say I want everyone to – I wish you could hear what we just cut out. But we just cut out. I want you guys to know that in a million years, no listener could guess what we just cut out, which was essentially a 10-minute conversation. So this is going to stay in the podcast. But there's not a single listener who could guess what the 10-minute conversation we just cut out was. And I promise you that.
How much more if you're popular still listening, would our podcast be if we use the stuff that we talk about that we cut out?
I don't, or less popular.
Well, I mean, more like there's listens. It doesn't mean that like we can continue living our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We'd have to change industries.
If you're still listening, give us a on the Patreon chat or DM us or whatever. What just a topic you think
take we'll a
be covering.
Guess.
We're not going to tell you what it is, but it'll be good to see some cool topics. All right. should we get going?
Yeah, get going.
Yeah, what's your bet?
I think, okay, so my bet is I'm just trying to think of, like, what's the way the altitude is going to impact the game. Mm. So I think we're going to see more than five, so six or above, shots over the net for either team. Or is that not outlandish enough and it has to be even more?
I mean, you're going to have to keep track. Like, yeah, directly over the net?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Because not like, it can't be like high and wide.
Field goals.
Like,
yeah, we'll call them field goals.
What's the number?
Five. Six and above.
So it's six that would be field goals. There'll be six field goals total across the teams.
Yes.
I feel like that's outlandish enough. You think it's low?
Six total across the teams is low. But it, like, from one team, I could.
Yeah, why don't you say six from one team? Six field goals from one team.
And pick the team.
Oh, boy. That's very specific.
I think he's right, though, because we miss all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three and three,
okay.
Easy.
Okay. Let's make it 10 total.
Okay. 10 total across both teams.
10 or more.
And it has to, and it can't be to the side. It has to be a field goal.
Yes.
I also like when you, hear,
because I would have to pick LAFC, I think.
I just like, you're like, we're at altitude. That means the gravity's not as good.
I mean, isn't it what it means?
It's like they're playing on the moon. Vince, what's your bet?
You know what?
Wait, is that wrong?
Our bets haven't been, like, thoroughly wacky enough. So
Darren, do you actually think that the gravity is less strong in Denver?
No, the air is thinner, so the balls will sail higher and longer.
That could be true. I don't know.
Neil deGrasse Tyson,
Coors Field, where they play baseball.
We know you are. Can you please let Darren know why this is not true?
Coors Field, the ball carries more. They have the fences at Coors Field.
That's fair.
They are further out because the ball will carry to the fences much more easily.
Yeah, all right.
It's not great.
Fucking gravity expert over here. Vince,
go ahead.
I'm
not saying it's gravity. It's not gravity, but it's similar in terms of what it looks like.
I'll do an altitude type one that's kind of wacky. I think that at some point the referee will have to stop the game and remove the ball from play because it is deflated in some way. I don't know if the altitude does it or someone pops it. But it'll happen, and we'll know that that's why it happened. Because obviously balls go in and out of play all the time. But they'll have to, like, literally the teams will stop and like the ref will pick up the ball and be like, nope, and throw it out.
That's great. I love that. Well, those are our bets. We shall see. I'm getting dizzy, so let's end the show, Darren.
Wefs be back.
Oh, wait. Wefs be back. This is me to read. Actually, Darren, will you read the end? Because I am getting dizzy.
Oh, my God. Travis. Oh, man.
Oh, also, I won't be here for the post game. Everyone, my wife very nicely booked me on a weekend trip to Hawaii after all the shit I've been going through. So I'm going to be in Hawaii this weekend. Hopefully, I won't. Nothing bad will happen to me on the flight there or back. But now that I've said it out loud, I'll probably die. If anything happens to me, it's not suicide. Jeez. I want everyone to know. If Boeing comes after me, I didn't kill myself. But Darren, take us away.
Ending so we can get out of here.
We're having depth issues on the podcast.
when I go down, the issue, shit hits the fan.
We need to bring Tom back, report on some transactions for the podcast.
This is way too loose for the number of people we're going to have tune in to hear Tom. Like, this episode is not a good intro episode for when the Tom bump we're going to get. Take us away, Darren.
The Tom bump. All right, that's our show. Our theme music is done by the insane team of James Valentine, Nate Walcott, and Louis Palmer. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel where all episodes and clips are available in video form at youtube.com/@happyfootsadfoot. You can review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Not so easy, is it?
Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. I wasn't saying it was easy. And if you made it this far into the episode, chances are you're enjoying the show. If that's true and you want to show even more support than all the ways I listed above... Above is a thing when you're hearing something. Please consider becoming a friend of the foot for $5 a month at patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot or pick up some Half-O Sappho inspired merch by going to happyfootsadfootpod.com. Any support really goes a long way to keeping the show going and the community growing, which also keeps the show growing. It's a virtuous cycle. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in Colorado if we all make it there, if any of us make it to Saturday.
I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Vince, why did a thumbs up just pop up on your screen? Because you did this.
I know. It does that. Isn't that cool?
He's doing a thumbs up.
Did it do it for me?
I love you to the viewers.
Like the AI.
Why is it not doing it for me? I love you. Bye.
Can I do it? Now I just look like an idiot with my thumbs up.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.